آواز بلند سلوا
سورۃ الفاتحہ حسبنا اللہ و نعم الوکیل نعم المولا و نعم النصیر اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا و مولانا ابی القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس كان من الجن فسق عن امر ربه افتتخذونه وذريته اولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا صلوات سورة كهف the 18th chapter of the Quran the ayat that I have read is ayat number 50 As we are trying to understand this chapter and the messages that Allah has transmitted to us through these words, we see by the grace of Allah we have reached the 50th ayat of this chapter. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ Remember that time when we said to the angels, اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ Make sajda to Adam. فَسَجَدُوا So everyone made sajda, إِلَّا Iblis, except for Iblis. Here, Allah has raised the issue of the beginning of creation and Adam and the creation of Adam many times in the ayat of the Quran. And every time He has raised it, we see He has raised it to teach a different aspect and a different idea of what we can learn from the same incident. There's one issue at hand, but it has different angles. And Allah is approaching this issue from different angles. Here, when Allah raises the issue of Adam and the rejection of Iblis to make sajda to Adam, here we see that Allah is using this as an example for those men who came to the Prophet and who were the rich people, they were wealthy and they asked the Prophet that we want to learn from you, but we don't want to sit with the poor people. We don't want to sit with these people who are poor. Right? We want you to take exclusive classes for us. And all of this, Allah is replying to what those people have said. And first He gives the example of the two men, the one who is wealthy, the one who is not wealthy. Then He gives the example of the raindrop and explaining what is the life of this world. And here we see that when Allah is explaining and He is putting forth arguments and ideas of what is happening. Here in his argumentation, he comes to a point where he wants to let them know that where did this problem really start? This problem of pride, this problem of arrogance, where did it really start? Where did the disobedience of Allah start? And that's why he goes to the example of Adam and says this whole issue of people disobeying Allah, of an individual being proud of his possessions and his wealth, this goes back to the very original crime that was done by Iblis. And hence, it is Iblis that is the origin of this sin. And he is saying that remember that time when we asked the angels that you should make sajda to Adam. Everyone made it except for Iblis. And then Allah is explaining who is Iblis. He's saying, Kana min al jinn. He was a jinn. He was a jinn. He was not an angel. Angels are ma'soom. They do not sin. They don't go against what Allah says. Iblis, Allah is saying, was a jinn. فَحَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. And he disobeyed the command of Allah. Allah asked him to do something and he did not do it. So he disobeyed Allah. And now, after explaining these two things, one, two attributes he gives about Iblis and says that one, he was a jinn, and two, he disobeyed Allah. So with these two things in mind, that he has these two qualities, he is a jinn and he disobeyed Allah, then Allah says, فَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي. He says, so you take him as a wali, as an authority over you, other than me? How sad it is that Iblis, Shaitan, Allah is saying he's a jinn. He did not obey Allah. And you, human beings, you insan, who are created as the best creation, you take him as a wali, as a leader, as an authority other than me? Here I am and you take him, and not just him. Not just him. He is saying, تَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَزُرِّيَّتَهُ. You take him and his children also. Shaitan also has children. Zurriyat. You take him and his children as a wali. Shaitan has children. And his children also do the same work as Shaitan does. They misguide people. And we have in hadith, who are the children of Iblis? He has many children. Who are the children of Iblis? And from amongst those people, you see that there are those individuals who misguide people. Anyone who misguides others from Allah's path, then when he wants to do good, and his intention is to say, don't do that, let us go and do something else. And they have certain arguments also. He says, life is short, we should enjoy it. Life is short, let's enjoy it. And apparently on the outside, it makes sense to a lot of people. They say, yeah, he's right. We only have one life to live, so live it up. And you obviously think that he's right. And these arguments they use, which are hollow inside, because the fact is that this is not your real life. This is just a period where you're transferring from one realm to another realm. You are just, you can say, in transit here. You're not here to stay. Your main goal is akhirat. But what Iblis does in order to misguide you, he wants you to forget that akhirat, and he wants you to think of this life as it. And hence, when you think this is it, so you try to enjoy yourself. You will say, I have to do as much as I can. But you see, one thing we should know about this, and our imams knew what sort of individuals have what sort of ideologies. And hence, one person, he came to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked Imam Ali, after Imam Ali, he gave a speech about Akhirat. He said, how do you know there's an Akhirat? I mean, how do you know there's an Akhirat? Obviously, as far as the Imam is concerned, as far as Imam or Hasumin are concerned, we have a hadith also from Imam Ali in Nahjul Balagha that says that heaven and hell was created in front of me. So as far as their knowledge, we know that. But other than that, he had to reply to this person who is asking him, and his mentality is not that much to make him understand that. So he asked Imam Ali, how do you know there's an akhirat? And Imam Ali replied back to him and says, how do you know there isn't? How do you know there isn't? Then Imam Ali explains his answer and says, if there is no akhirat, then I have nothing to worry about because I am happy with the way I'm living. I am happy with the way I'm living. I have no grief. I'm not upset. I don't have anything hard on me, nothing heavy on me. I'm happy the way I'm living. This is the best life I could have chosen. This is the best life I could have chosen. But if there is an akhirah, then you have something to worry about. Then you have something to worry about. Why? Because then you will be in trouble because you did not prepare for it. You see this? That is why for a mu'min, the life that Islam gave, the simple life that Islam gave, is truly the best way to live in this dunya. This is the best way to live in this dunya. Hardships come, difficulties come, sadness comes, grief comes when you accumulate things and have to worry about the things that you have accumulated. When you hoard things and now you have to worry about all those things. This is where the hardship comes. That is why this the lifestyle that Allah gave to us and the Imam showed to us is the best way to live in this dunya and in this life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So you see, what does he do? Iblis and his children, they try to misguide you. They try to misguide you. And Allah is saying that you took them as awliya. You regard them as your leader. You will rather obey them than obey me. What sort of choice is that? On one hand, you have Allah who is Rahim or Rahman, who is so generous, who has given you so much. You don't want to obey him, but you would rather obey Iblis, who has sworn animosity towards you. Who has said that I am the enemy of all the children of Adam. He is truly the enemy of all the children of Adam. It doesn't matter whether you are his friend or whether you are not his friend, but he is your enemy. You know, the example I can give you so that my youngsters understand here. Marhab. Marhab. was one of those people. One more salawat. So you see, he was an individual who opposed truth, who was a strong soldier for evil and falsehood. He was an evil soldier. He opposed Imam Ali. And so what happened is that when he came to fight Imam Ali, when he came to oppose Imam Ali, so at that situation, when Imam Ali introduced himself and said, "Ana allazi summiyat ummuhu Haydar," I am the one whose mother has named him Haydar. When he heard that he is called Haydar, and he remembered the saying of his own mother that you should not fight a man whose name is Haydar, that a man named Haydar is going to kill you. So he remembered that saying and said, "I should go back. I should go back." He became afraid. And he was walking back. He was walking back. He was thinking that this is my ending. I don't want to do this. He remembered that saying and he started walking back. So he was leaving the battlefield. He was escaping death. So who brought him back to death? Who brought him back? Yes, Iblis came. Shaitan came to him. He said, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" He said, "Well, didn't you hear him say his name is Haydar? And my mother said that I should not fight someone whose name is Haydar. I should not fight someone whose name is Haydar." So he was walking back. And there, at that point, Iblis looked at him and said, "You fool. Are you that dumb? Are you that stupid? Don't you see? How do you know this is that Haydar which will kill you? There are many Haydars. There are many Haydars." And he's looking at Iblis and saying, "You're right. You're right. I don't know if this is the Haydar. Let me go and fight him. Let me go and fight him, challenge him." He went back, he challenged him, and he was killed. So now we see, who was Marhab? Who was Marhab? Marhab was not the enemy of Shaitan. In fact, he was in his party. He was in his party. So we see, Iblis knew that if he goes to fight Ali, he's going to be killed. Because no one had ever gone to fight Ali and was saved. No one who went to challenge Ali was ever saved. Except Amr ibn As. Yes, Amr ibn As knew the secret. Those who don't know Amr ibn As, you should know. He was the right-hand man of Muawiyah. And he saw that Imam Ali is attacking him. And he knew that he is going to be... If Imam Ali approaches him, if he comes near him, he's going to kill him. He knew that. He knew that he's going to die. So, the only thing he could do is strip. And he stripped. In the battlefield, he stripped down. And he stood there. Imam Ali, seeing him that way, went away from there. And Imam Ali, he says in this, that you want me to make a treaty with this person who is so low that he is able to strip himself in order to escape death? So you see, but those people who went to fight Imam Ali, they were all killed. And he knew that. Iblis knows that. And so why did he send Marhab there? Why did he send Marhab to fight him? The reason is, my brothers, understand this. This is very important for us to know. Why did Iblis send Marhab, knowing that he will be killed, knowing that he's from his own party, knowing that he is his own friend? The reason he sent him is because Iblis and Shaitan wants everyone to know that it doesn't matter whether you are his friend or his enemy. As long as you are the children of Adam, Iblis will be your enemy. Shaitan will be your enemy, and Shaitan is out there to destroy you. This is what Allah is saying. Allah is saying He has promised that He is your enemy. He is the one who has openly said He is your enemy, but you still obey Him other than Me. How bad is the choice of human beings? And there He says, again, adding more arguments. He says, "Ma ashhadtuhum." أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We have not shown them, meaning Iblis and his children. We have not shown them. We have not made them a witness to the creation of heavens and hell. They don't know anything. They haven't seen anything. They haven't seen anything. And this is a very interesting ayat. He says that we haven't shown them, we haven't made them a witness to the creation of heaven and hell. And this is one argument that Allah is giving, that if you want to make someone your wali, make an individual your wali who has seen the witness of the creation of heaven and hell. Who has seen the witness of heaven and hell. That's why he's saying, Shaitan and his children have not seen the creation of heaven and hell. Shaitan wa aale shaitan do not know what the heaven and hell is and what are the secrets of the heaven and hell. So why do you make them awliya? You should make those people awliya who have seen the creation of heaven and hell and who have the secrets of heaven and hell. And that is Muhammad wa aale Muhammad. You see that? Make them your awliya. Take them as your leaders because they have seen the creation. They know the secrets. They will help you. These people don't know. These people haven't seen. And then Allah, He says, وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُذِلِّينَ عَضُدًا. He says, we do not take those people who misguide others as helpers. This is an usul that Allah is giving, a principle that Allah has given. We don't take those people who misguide others as our helpers. We don't ask them for help. We don't need their help. No matter who they are, if they misguide people, they will not become our helpers. See that? They will not become our helpers. This is a principle that Allah has given about Himself, and it also applies to us. That if we want to do anything, then we should make sure that we don't take the help of those who misguide others. Don't take help from them. Why? Because when you take help from those people who misguide others from the truth, from Allah's path, then this is a war against Allah. Because you, instead of asking Allah for help, the one who can really help you, you ask those people who misguide others. Here we see an example. This is from the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. When Imam Hussein, he came across Hur on his way, he came across Hur. Hazrat Hur, and in their meeting, Imam Hussein said that, will you be with me if I fight against Yazid's army? And Hur said, I was afraid of this from the time that I left my home. I don't want to take part in this. I had promised myself I will not fight with any group if this happens. If it is going to come to battle, I will not fight with any group. But I will do this much. I will give you my horse and my sword. I'm going to offer you my horse and my sword. Imam Hussein, in reply to him, and he said to Hur, that Hur, you are stingy about your life in regards to us. Meaning you want to save your life You want to save your life. If that is the case, we have no need for your wealth. We have no need for your wealth. And here, Imam Hussein recited this ayat. He says, "Ma kunto muttakhidh al-mudillina aduda." We do not take help from those who misguide others. We don't take help from those who misguide others. He told him. And in this regard, we see that Imam Hussein is making it clear that even though in a war situation, a horse is very useful. A horse is very useful, but he's saying that no, we, the principle that Allah gave is that we don't take help from those people who misguide others. This is the principle. Why? Because our job is to establish the authority of Allah, to establish the wilayat of Allah. That is our job. Our job is not to destroy the wilayat of Allah and the authority of Allah by asking others for help. And hence, this is a usul that we see Allah, He gives in this ayat. And then from there, Allah, He goes to Akhirat and is explaining what will happen to those people who had made these people the awliya. He says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَاءِ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعُوهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا. He says, on that day, on the day of judgment, we will tell these people, call unto them that you used to ask for help other than me. Call unto them that you used to regard as your wali. Where are those people now? Call unto them. And they will call. And Allah says, فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا, but they will not have any answer. Call unto them. You used to go to those people, and you used to go to those nations. You used to go to those awliya, and you regard them as great. You regarded them as helpers. Go and ask them now, where are they? Allah is giving His final punch to the people. The final argument. On that day, yes, on that day, that will be the day when you will know who the real master is. In this time, we have let you go. And this is how Allah explains this. On that day, you will know who is the real master. You go for other people, you are going to disobey me to obey them, then go ahead. But on that day, let me see you. And there I will let you call on to those people that you call for help, and let me see if they answer you. And no one will answer them. He says, وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ. And there the mujrimun, the criminals, the sinners, those who disobeyed Allah will see the fire. Will see the fire in front of them. I mean, everyone has heard about the fire. Everyone has heard about it. All the Anbiya did so much work that everyone knows about the fire, knows about Jahannam, knows about hell. Everyone knows about it. But they haven't seen it. And Allah is saying on that day they will see it with their eyes. When they will see it with their eyes, فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. They will see it and they will know that they will be thrown into it. Just imagine, you will know that you are being thrown into this fire that you are seeing. And there Allah is saying that they will not have any masrif. Masrif means escape route. They will have nowhere to escape. They will have no place to run away there. And by explaining this, Allah has clearly let us know, has made His final argument against those people. And then Allah, He goes away from there, and now He says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَسَلٍ. He says, we have given the people in this book, in the Quran, from every example. We have given to them every example that they need to know. We have explained to them every example that they need to know. And there we see وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. But insan in many things, mankind in many things is still in an argumentative state. They are still challenging Allah. They are still challenging Allah. They don't want to obey Him. They want to bring forth arguments to say, why should we? After seeing all these examples in the Quran, right in this chapter itself, the example of Ashabi Kahf, the example of the two men, the example of the raindrop and the life of this dunya, all these examples Allah is saying, He's saying, we gave them all the examples they need to know. And these are logical examples. These are examples that they can experience. But we see still that they don't want to obey Allah. They want to obey their nafs. They want to obey Iblis. They want to obey these false gods that they made for themselves. They still want to obey that. And there Allah is saying, see the attitude that Allah has changed here. He says, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ. He says, what prevents men from obeying us, from accepting us? What prevents you all from accepting me? What have I done to you that you don't want to accept me? What have I done to you that you don't want to accept me? And that you create these gods, those people who have no authority and no power and no knowledge, you take them as your awliya. What prevents you when you know that Allah has given you the guidance and Allah is ready to do istighfar? What prevents you? And two things Allah is saying. Two things that are there that men, human beings, will not learn except if these two things happen. And what are those two things? أَن يَعْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Either if the ending that happened to those people in the past, if it comes to them, meaning if the azab of Allah, if it's going to come to them, then they will say, yes, we believe. If the ending of those people, if that's going to come to them, أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. Or if the azab of Allah, the akhirat, is going to come. And in either of these two cases, that iman which they will bring at that time is useless. They will all accept Allah. But then, when the azab will come, when they will see hell and say, oh yes, I believe in Allah. It's too late now. Too late. Everyone is going to believe. Everyone will say, yes, Allah is there in the akhirat. Because they will see heaven and hell. They will see who the real master is. There they will know this is Allah. And then they will regret. They always knew it, but they did not want to accept it. And then Allah, He turns to the Prophet and says, listen, there is no force on these people. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. We have not sent the Prophets except to warn them and to give them the good news. Two things. Either you warn them or you give them the good news. We haven't sent people, we haven't sent these prophets to force them into anything. We don't want you to force them. We don't want you to make them accept me. We don't want that. Otherwise, they should recognize who Allah is. Allah is that person who, if He wants to help His people, who if He wants to help, He can even help His people, even though they are in the midst of their enemies. Don't you see how I helped Musa? That Musa who was a baby, who was in need of help, but I helped him by raising him in the house of my enemy. This is how I help my people. So if you haven't understood how I help, then you haven't understood me. And here, in order to end this, and after that I want to go into a little bit about our own discussion about our imam that we are remembering. Through these ayat I want to go, so that we have an idea of how to relate the message of Allah with the Ahlul Bayt. Because you see, when Rasulullah had said, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ, I'm leaving amongst you two things. Kitab Allahi wa itrati ahl bayti. The book of Allah and my Ahlul Bayt. When he said that, he added one more thing after that. He said that these two things I am leaving for you, they will not separate from each other. They will not separate from each other. Wherever the Quran goes, Ahlul Bayt will go. Wherever the Ahlul Bayt will go, the Quran will go. You cannot separate them. So if you are reading the Quran, then you can be sure that in them is the example of Ahlul Bayt. And that's why when we read this, I want to come to an important conclusion over here regarding the discussion we were having yesterday of the wilayat of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says that we sent the Prophet as people to warn them and to give them good news. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لَيُّذْهِسُوا بِهِ الْحَقْ وَاتَّقَذُوا آيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا خُزُوَا. He says that we have sent you to them, but these people, they argue with you just to put down my message, and they laugh at my warnings. They laugh at my warnings. And when they laugh at my warnings, then he's saying, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَّثِيَ قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. Who is worse than that person who has been told my signs, who has been reminded of my signs, and then he turns away from it. Then he turns away from it. And he forgets what he has done. Just over here, I want to stop. And I want you to now think about this. Signs of Allah, he's saying, that those people who are reminded the sign of the signs of Allah, those people who are given the signs of Allah, when you receive a sign from Allah, an ayat from Allah, and you are reminded of it, and you know of it, and then you turn against it, then you go against it, then that means that is the worst person. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. The most zalim person, the most oppressive person is that person who has been given the sign, and then they go against that sign. So now, I want you to see what ayat is. Ayat is the sign of Allah, that which reminds you of Allah. There are small signs and there are big signs. There are small signs and there are big signs. Everything you see in the creation of Allah is a sign of Allah, is an ayat of Allah. That is why we see, when you see an alim, you say he is ayatullah. Why is he ayatullah? Because he reminds you of Allah. He reminds you of Allah. Just like, for example, the birds and the trees and every creation of Allah is a sign of Allah. You are reminded of Allah, of Him. There are signs that are small. There are signs that are big. And Allah Himself says that there is one sign that is the greatest sign of all. And He calls it Ayatul Kubra. Ayatul Kubra that he mentions in the Quran is the great sign of Allah. And when we went to the tafsir of this great sign and who this Ayatul Kubra is, Imam Sadiq said that this is Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Ayatul Kubra is Imam Ali. He is the greatest sign of Allah that Allah has sent for man. He has sent for man this great sign. So now, when Allah gave us this sign, so now what happens? When we turn away from this sign, when we go away from this sign, after it has come to us, then how bad is the situation of those people? That is why we see those people who were with Imam Ali, and they left him. One such example was the Kharijis. Kharijis were those people who were with Imam Ali and they left him. When they left him, what happened? Imam Ali went, warned them, they didn't listen. They went on and they became the worst people. And Imam Ali went to war with them. And in the war, this is the only war where Imam Ali prophesies of what will be the outcome of this war. See this. This is the only war in which he prophesies this. He said that in this war, only 10 of them will be saved and 10 of us will be killed. And it so happened in the Battle of Nahrawan, when he fought the Kharijis, only 10 and less than 10 people were saved in the battle, who ran away from the battlefield, and only 10 people from the side of Imam Ali were killed. This is how much. But after he had the battle, after that Imam Ali said that now I forbid you to kill these people. He says, now do not go after these people. Do not kill these people. It was me who, yes, I made that decision to do it. But now you do not do it. You do not do it. But we see that these were the people that when I looked at the hadith of, that is regarding Ibn Muljim, when I looked at his hadith and the history about Ibn Muljim, we see that in the hadith of the Prophet, it has come that Ya Ali, the one who will kill you will be Ashqal Awwaleena Wal Akhireen, the most wretched man who has ever been on the face of earth. The most evil person who has been on the face of earth. Ashqal Awwaleena Wal Akhireen. And when I looked at Ibn Muljim, I saw that why is he the most evil person? How did he become the most wretched person? Understand this, my brothers and sisters. This is important for us to understand of what it means to be handed the imamat and to reject it. Those people who never had the wilayat of Ali are better than those people who had it and rejected it. Who had it and they left it. Because of their own nafs, because of the love of this dunya, they left it. Why was Umar ibn Sa'd so cursed? Umar ibn Sa'd was cursed because at one time, he claimed to be a lover of Imam Hussein. You know that hadith, that well-known hadith, that when Sa'd ibn Waqqas, that's Umar ibn Sa'd's father, when he went to Imam Ali, in these days, when Imam Ali was in his last days, and Imam Ali at the last moment said, Huluni qablan tafquduni. Ask me whatever you want to ask me before you lose me. After he was injured, he was lying down in bed for 2 days, and there he gave everyone the chance to come and ask me. And there, this Sa'd ibn Waqqas comes to him and asks him and says, that, how many hair do I have on my head? And Imam Ali, in replying to him, added one more thing to his reply. And said, Sa'd, your son is going to kill my son Hussein. Your son is going to be the killer of my son. And this Umar ibn Sa'd, everyone when they used to see Umar ibn Sa'd, they used to laugh at him. They used to say that Hada Qatilul Hussein. This is the one who's going to kill Hussein. It was known by everyone because Imam Ali, when he said this, everyone was there. And everyone heard this and they said, Hada Qatilul Hussein. Umar ibn Sa'd heard this and he went to Imam Hussein. He said, look what these people are trying to say about me. And he said, these people are fools. Imam Hussein replied back to him in a strange way, and he said, whether you will kill me or not, only time will decide. Only time will decide, but these people are not fools. You see, Imam Hussein, he replied in that way. Now what happened? When he replied in that way, Umar ibn Sa'd said, but how can I kill you? Just understand his words. How can I kill you? Ana uhibbuk. I love you. I love you. How can I kill you? See his words. Umar ibn Sa'd is saying this. To whom? To Imam Hussein. He is saying, how can I kill you? I love you. So all his life, he lived in claiming love for Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt. But you see, the love of dunya was such. The love of dunya was such that love turned to hate. And that friendship turned into something else. And hence, he ended up becoming the killer of Hussein. Understand this. Who was Umar ibn Sa'd? Umar ibn Sa'd claimed to love Imam Hussein. He was not that person who from his early age wanted to kill Imam Hussein. No, he changed his mind when he saw the reward that he's going to get. He said that you're going to get the whole city of Ray. Yes, that's what you will get in return. So he said, city of Ray, Imam Hussein. So he said, city of Ray is better. Ray in those days was a big town. Lots of money, influence, power. And he changed his mind. He was close to Imam. He was close to Wilayat. He had that Wilayat. He knew what was the position of Imam Hussein, and he went against him. That's why we see Umar ibn Sa'd is cursed. He is mal'oon. Why? Because of the fact that he was so close and yet he went so far. Such is the case with Ibn Muljim. Ibn Muljim was in Imam Ali's army. He was in Imam Ali's army. When Imam Ali, he fought against Muawiyah. He was with Imam Ali. But when these people left Imam Ali and they left his army and they left his authority, then their hatred grew for him. That is why those people who were not with Imam Ali, maybe they can get away with something, but those people who were with Imam Ali and they left him, when you leave the wilayat of Imam, when you leave Imamat, and when you go away from the path of the Imam, then you will see that this is what makes a person wretched and evil. This is why Ibn Muljim was that person who, when we read in the hadith, became Ashqal Awwaleena wal Akhireen, the most wretched man in the history of mankind, before and after. Why? Because he was under the authority of Imam Ali, and he left him to become the killer of Imam Ali. And all for what? All for a woman. All for a woman. Because he was in love with a woman. And the woman said that, I want you to kill Ali if you want to marry me. And she blamed Imam Ali for the death of her own relatives. He said, you go and kill Ali and then I will marry you. And all for that. You see, how flimsy are the reasons for doing evil. How flimsy are the reasons for doing evil. There is no cause. Just so simple things. And that's why, Ashqal Awwaleena wal Akhireen, this Ibn Muljim, came to Imam Ali, and we heard yesterday how Imam Ali reacted to that night. That night that he was waiting for the morning prayer to come, it is said that Imam Ali, in the house of Umm Kulsum, I'm just going to go through this so I can come to my point. When he was in the house of Umm Kulsum, he was going in and out of his room. He was going out into the yard, looking at the sky, and he went back in. He went out again, looked at the sky, and went back in. He was going back and forth. Umm Kulsum did not see his she never saw that Imam Ali acted this way. And there she asked Imam Ali that what is happening? Why are you going in and out? And Imam Ali, he was looking at the sky. He was looking at it again and saying, this is that night. This is that night. This is the night that has been promised. This is the night that has been promised. And hence we see that fateful night came when Imam Ali went there and woke up Ibn Muljim for prayer. Woke up Ibn Muljim, that Ibn Muljim get up for prayer. And then Ibn Muljim, he knew he wasn't sleeping, but he was lying. He was lying down and he was hiding the sword underneath him. Imam Ali knew that. But he said, Ibn Muljim, I know what you're hiding underneath you, but I cannot do anything to you. You know why? Because you haven't done anything yet. You haven't done anything yet. I cannot condemn you for your intentions. I cannot do anything to you because of what you have in your mind. Only if you do something, then only I can do something against you. But he knew this. But this was the justice of Ali. This was the justice of Ali, that he acted according to Allah's will. And Allah's will was known by Ali's life. Allah's will was known by Ali's life. And that's why when we went on, we see that when Ibn Muljim came, when Ibn Muljim came to hit Imam Ali, when he came to hit Imam Ali, it happened when Imam Ali was raising his head from the first sajda. When he was raising his head from the first sajda, that's when Ibn Muljim came to hit him. Now my brothers, understand this. Just one example I will give you so that you have an idea of what I'm trying to say over here. You see, whenever there's an accident, if your car hits another car from the back, the damage will not be that much. If another car hits you from the back, the damage will not be that much. But if two cars hit head on, then you will see the damage is more. So now you see, this incident that happened, Imam Ali was raising his head, and the sword was coming down on his head. And the sword attacked him. It hurt him in a way that both these were headed in the opposite direction. And the hit of the sword was so much that Imam Ali's head was knocked back into sajda. Imam Ali's head was not back in the sajda. And now Imam Ali is writhing in pain. But even then, we see that as this happened, just to let you know, make you ready for this, now we come that Imam Ali is brought home. When he is brought home, when he is in his home, now we see that they ask the doctor to come. The doctor comes to look at Imam Ali. He looks at Imam Ali and he sees that what happened to Imam Ali. He sees what is the poison that is used. And he tells Imam Hassan that ask your father to say his last will, because his time has come near. He will not be able to survive from this poison. Imam Hassan said, please do not speak loudly. Don't you see that Zainab and Umm Kulsum are hearing? They might hear that Ali will die and they will start to cry. And that's how we see that Imam Hassan, even in that situation, is knowing how it is hard for them. How was this day that we have gone through? You see, we went through this day, but I want you to really, if you really want to know how this day was, then go and ask Umm Kulsum, how was this day? Go and ask Zainab, how was this day? Go and ask Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, how did they like their father writhing in pain all day long and being affected by that poison? That poison was such that Imam Ali was, they put a yellow band-aid on him, on his head. They put a yellow band-aid on his head. But that the yellow strip that was around his head, it is said that when you looked at his face, the blood had gone so much from his face that you would not know the difference between the color of the robe, the strip, and the color of his face. It had turned so much yellow that you will not know the difference. This is how much Imam Ali had lost blood, and he was so yellow, and he was so much in pain, and this pain was so much in that situation. Now I want you to see about Imam Ali. In that situation, Imam Ali calls Imam Hassan and says, my son Hassan come to me. Listen, Ibn Muljim came and he hit me once. But you remember, do not let the people of Hashmi, do not let these people make this a revenge campaign against Ibn Muljim. Because he only hit me once, I also want you to hit him only once and no more than that. Imam Ali, you are worried about Ibn Muljim at this time. He is in pain. How was this Imam of yours, who even in his time of death, is remembering and regarding the welfare of his own killer? He is regarding the welfare of his own killer. How was this Imam of yours? And I want you to see the sympathy and the humanity that Imam Ali had in his heart. He was not just a warrior, but he was a servant of Allah. His heart was strong in battle, but his heart was so soft when it came to dealing with people, that I wanted you to see how was the example of Imam Ali. This Imam Ali, this Ali who fought in so many battles, now is in so much pain. There's so much pain that you see, even when an arrow used to go through his leg, but his prayers would not be affected by it. But now Imam Ali is in so much pain that he cannot pray standing up. He has to sit down and pray. He has to sit down and pray. How much effect that poison has had on him. How much pain is he in? Now you imagine that when this pain is so much, in that regard, Umm Kulsum brings a glass of milk in front of Imam Ali and says, "My father, please, please drink this milk. It will help you. It will make you stronger." Imam Ali looked at that milk and said, "Umm Kulsum, you know that I don't take these things. Take it away from me. Take it away from me." But at this time, Umm Kulsum says, "For my sake, father, for my life's sake, please take this milk." Yesterday, Imam Ali said no to Umm Kulsum. But today, because Umm Kulsum is asking him to drink for her own sake, now Imam Ali agrees. But he says, "But on one condition, I want to make sure that Ibn Muljim also gets the same food that I am eating. I cannot eat this. I cannot drink this milk unless Ibn Muljim gets his own milk." How soft-hearted and how human is this Imam of yours, that even in his time of death, he is looking at the welfare. He cannot drink his own milk unless he makes milk for his own killer. بس آخری جملے میں کہتا ہوں اور میری مجلس تمام آخری جملے کچھ کہتا ہوں میں اور میری مجلس تمام کرتا ہوں میں یہ وہ امام یہ وہ ہمدرد امام جس کا دل انسانیت کے لیے اتنا مائل ہے اب وہ آپ خالی وہ مثالیں دیکھیے بس یہ آخری بات کہوں گا میں اب جب امام علی اتنے درد کے ساتھ لیٹے ہوئے ہیں اس درد میں جب لیٹے ہیں تو اب یہاں پر امام سے یہ پوچھا جاتا ہے کہ بابا آپ نے تو بہت زخم کھائے زندگی میں کہیں جا گئے ہیں زندگی میں کتنے جہادیں کیے ہیں زندگی میں کبھی ایسا نہیں تڑپے کیا بات ہے آج اتنا کیوں تڑپ رہے ہو امام نے کہا کیونکہ میرے کانوں میں ابن ملجم کی تڑپنے کی آواز آتی ہے ابن ملجم کی تڑپنے کی آواز آتی ہے کہا کیا آواز ہے کہا کہ اس کے ابن ملجم کے ہاتھ جکڑے گئے ہیں رسیوں سے اس جکڑنے کی وجہ سے وہ تڑپ رہا ہے امام علی نے کہا جاؤ اس کی رسی کو آسان کرو اس کی رسی کو کھولو جب تک میرا تڑپنا کم نہیں ہوئے گا ہائے مولا اب میں کیسا کہوں مولا آپ سے کہ آپ اپنے قاتل کے لیے اتنے ہمدرد کہ اس کے رسیوں کو جکڑے ہوئے نہیں دیکھ سکتے مگر وہ وقت بھی جاری ہے اور میں بتاتا ہوں کہ آپ کے ہی بیٹیاں ہو گئے ہیں آپ کے ہی بیٹیاں ہو گئے ایک رسن ہوگی 12 گلے ہو گئے ایک رسن میں 12 گلے باندھے جائیں گے اور درزی کے دربار میں لائے جائیں گے ہاں ایک ننی سی بچی ہوگی جو کبھی کھڑی رہتی کبھی بیٹھتی ہے اب اس سے پوچھتے ہیں اے سکینہ کیوں بیٹھتی ہو کیوں کھڑی رہتی ہو ایک جگہ کیوں نہیں ہوتی کہتی ہے جب میں بیٹھتی ہوں تو میرا گلا کھینچے جاتا جب میں اٹھتی ہوں تو پھر بھی زینب کا گلا کھینچے جاتا اللہ لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین
يا محمود بحق يا محمد يا الله بحق.